It's on mute. Oh, there we go. Hi, good morning. Hello, good morning. Okay. I'm going to announce that John Hull is late. Anyway, you know what that means? Yeah. My husband's here, but not here. Ha. Huh. Well, anyway, a couple of announcements this morning. See this yellow sheet of paper? Everybody has in their bulletins. These are important. These are nominating forms. And so, of course, you all want to put your names on these to serve on commissions or as an elder or as a deacon or, you know, as the vice president of the congregation. That's important. So think about this and put these in the butterfly nets with the offering. And isn't that fun? It's fun. Butterfly nets for offering. Fill these out. We need you. These are important. And where's my other? Here it is. There we go. Yes, church protocols have changed. For the next few weeks, we are not going to be singing because we are taking some extra precautions about COVID since there has been a rise in cases in our county and in our state. So the organist, Arlen, today is going to be playing a verse of each hymn. There are no words up, but we'll put words up next week so that you can hum along silently, quietly, within the boundaries of your masks. But anyway, it's not that we don't like to sing. We do like to sing, but we need to not do that for a little bit. The Zoom All Church Retreat is this next weekend on Friday and Saturday. There's still time to register for that if you are interested. It will be on prayer and congregational discernment. All Saints Sunday is coming up in a few weeks. If there's someone you'd like to remember that day, please talk to Kathy in the church office. And are there any other announcements today? Debbie. Okay, so blankets, no next Sunday, next Saturday. Let me blankets. Okay, no blanket making next Saturday, and you made 22 blankets yesterday. All right. Oh, and the deadline for the call is, at noon tomorrow. Well, all right, Kathy, got that. Okay, well, if there are no other announcements, let's begin worship with the prelude. Thank you. Thank you, Arlen. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? Beloved of God, the Lord is a rock of refuge, our fortress, and our home.
We come to celebrate the good news.
God is our hope and our trust. With grateful hearts, let us give thanks to our God.
We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
We will remain standing as we listen to and quietly hum along to God of Grace and God of Glory.
O bountiful God, we're thankful for the opportunity to come together to worship you and praise your name. We're thankful for the changing of the seasons and the bountiful harvest that you will provide us throughout the year. God, we know you are with us at each and every day, and we look forward to spreading your word to others throughout the world. We do this through our prayer, our faith, and our hope. Let us pray the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying,
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Our special music today is Kathy Winders. Thank you, Kathy. As we come now to our time of joys and concerns, I'd call your attention to all the prayer concerns on the back of the bulletin. Good news this week is Annette went back to work. We're glad for that. We want to hold in our prayers our stewardship campaign in the church, that all will respond to that. There's another insert in your bulletin that was forgotten to, I forgot to mention earlier, but stewardship is an important part of our church all year long. This just happens to be the time when we call particular attention to that. Cindy Huckfeldt had a bit of a time this week. Hey there, glad to see you. With her knee and with staying conscious was a bit of a problem, but she is here on crutches. All right. So please remember her. Billy Mosteller is still in hospice. Tammy Heck's family is in need of prayers as they travel to Texas to help her father begin to sort out her mother's possessions. We received word that Dave Baker's mother, Susie Holman, died this morning, early this morning, about 2 a.m. Pat Buck's brother, John Raynard, has been sent here to Casper from South Dakota because of COVID. His wife was also diagnosed as positive, as you may know, but she is at home in South Dakota with her son there. And Arlen spent some time in the emergency room this week, but he is looking better and is doing well now. Also, I hope you all got the prayer concern about Julie and Greg, who are now in a cabin at Estes Park, having evacuated from their home because of the Cameron Peak fire. The Mullen fire is still not out, and there's a new fire in Colorado, the Cal Wood fire, that is burning in Boulder County now. So we need to remember all those who are fighting those fires. Are there other joys or concerns to share this morning? Cindy.
I spoke with Martha Wallace this week, and she shares the joy that her brother is improving tremendously after having spent several weeks in intensive care with, if I'm understanding correctly, non-COVID-related lung disease. They have transferred him to a specialist hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, and he's feeling well enough that she spoke to him on the phone. So she is singing prayers of joy.
Okay. Nancy, how are you?
Much better.
Good. Ooh, it looks good from here. Good.
It's much better.
Good.
Fat and makeup helps.
There you go. Debbie.
One of our participants, her name is Robin.
Can't hear you. Excuse me.
One of our participants of the Sandals Ministry, her name is Robin. She's asking for prayer from her mother, Joyce, who is going downhill at Shepherd.
Okay, one of the participants of Sandwich Ministry, her name is Robin, is asking for prayers for her mother, who is going, her mother's name is Joyce, and she's not doing well at Shepherd. Okay. Thank you, Debbie.
Pick me.
Dennis? Yes?
A prayer concern would be, is Kathy tweaked her back this morning, and so she was not feeling the best as far as moving around, so prayers that she gets her back in shape, but she did an excellent job at both services of playing special music. And then what a prayer of joy to have your husband here with us today.
Oh, look, there he is. Hi, how are you? Oh, Kathy. Hi, John. Thank you, Dennis. Let's join together in prayer. Merciful God, gathered together in one place, we are grateful for this day because you have entrusted to us the care of your world and your people. In a moment of silence and reflection, we lift to you those joys and concerns we have spoken aloud, those we have kept silent, and those known only to you. This day we thank you for all we forget are gifts and not rights. We ask that you would forgive us, God, for all the grievances we remember all too well. Save us from the self-pity, the self-seeking, the fat-heartedness, which is true poverty of spirit. Guide us, God, if we are willing, and drive us, if we are not, into the hard ways of sacrifice, which are just and loving. Make us wide-eyed for beauty and for our neighbor's need and goodness. Make us wide-willed for peacemaking and for the confronting power with the call to compassion. Make us wide-hearted for love and for the unloved who are the hardest to touch and need it the most. Dull in us the envy and self-righteousness that criticizes and complains life into 1,000 ugly bits. Keep us honest and tender enough to heal, and tough enough to be healed of our hypocrisies. Match our appetite for privilege with a stomach for commitment. Teach us the great cost of paying attention, that naked to the dazzle of your back as you pass, we may know we are always on holy ground. Breathe into us the restlessness and courage to make something new, something saving, and something true, that we may understand what it is to rejoice and be glad in your presence, just as the wilderness and the parched dry land become places of beauty and abundance as you walk by. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our communion table is open to everyone, whether you've had your best week or your worst week, whether you think you did right by everybody or whether you did wrong. You see, God knows you, and he knows that you need his love. This table offers that gift to each and every one of us. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. O gracious God, we are so very thankful for the supreme sacrifice you did to save us all. We ask that you bless this bread and this cup to the nourishment of our soul, so that we may spread the light of your love amongst everyone. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I like to adventure race. Adventure racing is a sport where you don't know where you're going to start or where you're going to finish. All you know is you're going to do a lot of hiking, a lot of mountain biking, and some paddling. Those are the three main disciplines of the sport: hiking, biking, and paddling. In order to get good at it, I have to practice at it. Our faith is much like that. The three disciplines that we have are hope, faith, and love. And we must practice those each and every day so that we get better at our faith. Now, we do that through our daily acts of kindness to others, as well as our gifts that we give. At this time, the diaconate will receive our tithes and offering. O loving Father, please bless these tithes and offerings. Give us the strength and knowledge to use these to further hope and love throughout the world and strengthen our faith. In these things we ask. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 13. Actually, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. The source for material this morning comes from the New Interpreter's Bible Commentary by John Paul Sampley this morning. That's for the internet, just so you know. So, faith, hope, and love are small words that define the community of faith. They define our way of life here in this place. 1 Corinthians 13 is one of the most well-known, most beloved pieces of Christian scripture. And like the 23rd Psalm, we can probably quote part, maybe most of it. This lovely piece of poetry was not written to celebrate that new and joyous beginning of a marriage relationship. As you may have figured out, this love chapter is part of a pastoral letter that was written to a community of faith that we would hope unknowingly is determined to destroy itself. It is a church filled with conflict and dissent and power struggles. You see, the Christians at the church in Corinth believed themselves to be better than any other Christian community around. They believed themselves to be in a higher spiritual status than other communities, and even within the church. Certain individuals believed themselves to be better than others. My spiritual gift, you see, is better than yours. We are better Christians than others. I am a better Christian than you. And that's how they thought at the church in Corinth. There was no problem with self-esteem there, or actually, poor self-esteem is written all over that kind of thinking and speaking. That kind of thinking will never lend itself to smooth sailing within the church because that's not who we are, or how we think or understand ourselves. And, by the way, the church at Corinth was behaving horribly. Word had gotten out about them. The folks in Ephesus had even heard about them. Factions, divisions, unrest had all reared their ugly heads in that church. And so Anonymous, who has lived for eons, decades, millennium, Anonymous wrote a letter to Paul asking for help. And so Paul answers with a letter to a people that he deeply cares for, with a letter calling the congregation, as Jeff Jones says, to account for their behavior, calling them back to being the community of faith. Paul says, "I am thankful for you, and God will strengthen you. But y'all got to put divisions aside." Paul used that word, y'all. "Got to put divisions aside because you are united in Christ. Stop quarreling. And remember, it is Christ that we preach. We are God's servants. Immorality has no place among you. Do not be a stumbling block for those who are weak. The Lord's Supper is not a place for factions. And when you gather to eat, wait for one another. There are varieties of spiritual gifts, and one is not better than the other. You are one body with many gifts. And still, there is a more excellent way. Still, there is a more excellent way. All the grumblings about who is better than another, all the division, all the quarreling, all of the "I am right and you are wrong" is answered in this 13th chapter. Paul says, even what you think to be the most highest, the most best, the most honored of spiritual gifts, if you can move mountains, you are nothing without love. Without love, the most highly prized gift among you is like, well, I'm going to say fingernails on a chalkboard. Ugh. Like that irritating instrument, brass clanging instrument. Even the most sacrificial, the most humble, the most pious Christian attributes are nothing, nothing without love. Even the most exemplary Christian among you is empty and meaningless. You want to talk about being put back in your place? This is the first mic drop, right here, mic drop. Paul Sampley says, extraordinary gifts, grand abilities and skills, extravagant actions are worthless without love. Within the body of Christ, love's first concern is not for self. Love's first concern is always for the other. Love trumps everything. No pun intended. You see the disservice we have done for ourselves by only reading this at weddings. This was written for the community of faith. Paul then tells the church at Corinth how love behaves in the church. It is patient and kind. It doesn't insist on its own way. It bears, it believes, it hopes, it endures. This is how we behave here in this place. Yes, we take this behavior with us when we leave, but patient and kind, not insisting on our own way. This was written again to the Christian community to define behavior within the Christian community. Again, J. Paul Sampley says, love is running forgiveness. A continual forgiveness necessary for any lasting relationship. It's a two-way street between one person and another, between God and believers, between believers and believers. Love is a relationship, and that is what makes it possible to bear, to believe, to hope, and endure all things. This is how God's church is to behave. Love is a way of being that will never fail and will never end. We need to remember this is true love, not that warm and fuzzy feeling. It's an action. It is visible and tangible. It is tough and it is resilient. True love comes from God. It claims us and through us reaches out to others. True love, as Paul sees it, always begins with God and always reaches beyond oneself to others. This love never stops with just one person, no matter how special your mother told you you are. But it always reaches through the loved one out into God's broken and hurting world. You know, we are not alone. God is present with us. And God's love is always reaching through us out into the world. We just need the eyes to see it. Here is a love story for you. A love story made possible because a community of faith understood the importance of the varieties of financial stewardship and the unseen hope it always made possible. Jimmy Burris was an elder at Beargrass Christian Church, the church that John retired from. Jimmy had cerebral palsy, he was in a wheelchair, and his speech was always garbled. It was hard to understand Jimmy. When Beargrass built their new sanctuary, they included ramps up to the chancel area, up here. At the first Christmas Eve service in that sanctuary, the new one, it came time for communion. And Rex Jones, an elder, wheeled Jimmy up the ramp to take his place behind the communion table. His prayer for the bread was printed in the bulletin so we could read along, and Jimmy said his prayer when the time came. It was rather long, and Jimmy's speech was garbled, it was difficult to understand, and it was slow. When he finished his prayer, he said, "Amen," and immediately the woman behind me mumbled, "It's about time." I was being nice and polite and respectful, but I wanted to turn around and whack her upside the head. I really did. After communion, the senior minister, Lee Bon, stood in the middle of the chancel. And he said, "I want you all to know what has just happened here. Jimmy Burris has been an elder for 15 years. There's never been a way to get his wheelchair to the table in the old sanctuary." That steps like this, a few more. "And so all these years, Jimmy has written communion prayers, and they have been offered by another elder at the table. Tonight is the first time Jimmy has been able to get his wheelchair to the table, and so now after 15 years, Jimmy has been able to offer his own prayers from his place behind the communion table." It was a moment of grace, it was a moment of true love, and it was a moment when the presence of God filled that sanctuary, and yet not everyone was able to see it. Those ramps in that new sanctuary are a visible act of love for one man and all who would come after him. They were built into the new sanctuary design so that Jimmy could take his place at the table. Stewardship in that community of faith made visible the faith, the hope, and the love that they all held in common. And by doing that, their love for Jimmy Burris extended the love of God for generations to come. The love of God reached through Jimmy and out into God's broken world. And so to the beloved people of God gathered for worship here in this place, the Apostle Paul says to you, if you do not have love, you are nothing. Jesus says to you, love one another as I have loved you. And the psalmist reminds you, God's steadfast love endures forever. It is love alone that will endure. It is love alone that will remain. Now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. O God, it is your love and your love alone that gives us life. It is your love that claims us. It is your love that will never let us go. Teach us to love one another here in this place. Teach us to love your children. Teach us to love your world as you love us. May your love reach out through us into your world so that all may know your healing, your wholeness, and your peace. Amen. Oh, we need to sing this, but we're not going to. The gift of love is our closing hymn. Would you please stand? Transition team has a brief meeting following the worship service. Y'all have a good week. Enjoy the nice weather and stay warm with this lovely schizophrenic weather. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
How you doing?
I'm